pulling down a stronghold. Do you get this picture here? It's not something that is just little. It's actually pulling it down. It's fierce. It is some type of battle. You want to destroy it. When you pull down a building, the only thing you see left is after, you know, the things that are left there. You don't see the building anymore. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. To the obedience of Christ. You look here at a definition of strongholds. A stronghold is something in your mind that you believe and you act upon, but it is not always something that is true. And once again, we talked, there is good strongholds. We call those protection strongholds. When you run to the Word of God, you run to the Bible, you run to the promises of God. But there is also false strongholds. We call them prison strongholds. And if we will examine them, if we will honestly, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, look at every area of our life and look at some things that is contrary to the Bible. You know what? There are so many of us that have lived so long with so many of these strongholds, we don't see anything wrong with them. And that's why we talk about discerning strongholds. But if you, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God, would be amazed at how many strongholds the devil has set up and has built in our minds and our lives. There are certain things that we are stuck on that we know apply to other people that we don't think applies to us. There are certain things we can show people through the Word of God and say, this is what's right, and we have it stuck, that we've done it for so long that we just don't believe that applies to us. And these are the things we're trying to pull down in our lives. We looked at discerning strongholds, and we looked at a few different things. I remind you of a couple of them. You have a stronghold if your mind focuses on a particular event from the past. And we all have hurt feelings. We all have things that have happened to us before in the past. But if we are focused on those things, we don't face reality. What does God want us to be meditating on? What does God want us to be thinking about? His Word, Himself. And when our thoughts are, when problems happen, we revert back to a problem, or when we were hurt, or we blame it on someone else. That is a stronghold, because we're not focusing on how to fix the present situation and how God is trying to work in our hearts. Instead, we are running back to something else. If you're committed to any course, to a course of action contrary to the Scripture, and this is any course, if there's anything in our mind that is contrary to the Bible, that is a stronghold. If you resist the Word of God, once again, that's if I know what the Word of God says, I believe what the Word of God says, but, and that's where many Christians are at today, but this is my circumstance. You focus on the actions of others in order to defend your behavior. You focus on the actions of others. You know, when you get corrected, or when someone confronts you with something, you're like, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so, or you know what, that's a stronghold. We don't focus on others. We focus on God. We compare ourselves with God, and that's who we're trying to become like. We're not trying to become like those that are struggling. We're trying to become like Jesus Christ. And yet you become defensive when biblically confronted. And make an accusation or confronts you or corrects you with something, you can do a couple different things about it, and you get mad. You can respond by saying, well, you did this, or you can think about it. You can prayerfully consider it. I heard one preacher said, it's like you can take it like a piece of bubble gum, chew it on it a little while, and then spit it out. You know, take some consideration, take some time. Is this true? Can I apply this to my life? What can I learn from it? And then spit it out. I mean, sometimes when people try to correct you, sometimes God is using that as a way to help you. Other times, it's the devil trying to mess with you and trying to get you off your course and trying to do things that are trying to get you to stop. He would love for you to focus on that person correcting you rather than focusing on God. So, you know, if you get angry or defensive about it, that's something that we should look at and check into. Last week, we began our the next one, and we only got through 2 points. This week, we might get through the last remaining points. We're not sure we're going to get through all of it. But last week we looked at destroying strongholds. And we probably all recognize we have some type of stronghold. But how do we get rid of it? First thing is there must be an acknowledgement. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And once again, that's most Christians' favorite verse. But at the same time, we got to realize confession means that we agree with God.
It can't be, yes, I know I've sinned, and then just say that to God. It's an agreement. You actually got to see your sin the way God does. Agree with God about your sin. Most people confess when they feel like maybe they hurt someone's feelings or when they got caught doing something. But plan on doing it again. That's not true confession. We look in the book of Proverbs, and it says confession, but it also means forsaking. And then we must confess and forsake. That's when we'll find mercy. And so acknowledgement, releasing our sin of sin, and then there must be an attack. It's spiritual warfare. There must not just say, okay, I know I have this. It's not even disagreeing with God. We must do something about it. We must be proactive. We must see the Word of God and apply the Word of God, and memorize the Scriptures, pray about it, do what the Word of God says. Okay, so point number three, under destroying the strongholds, there must be an approach. There must be an approach. You know, James 4:8 is where we're at today. In James 4, it says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. And sometimes, you ever try to get into a doctor's office, and they don't have anything available for you? It drives my wife crazy. If one of her kids are sick, and she wants to get to the doctor's, if she can't call that morning and get them in that day, she'll be like, my kid's sick. I need to go to the doctor's. Sometimes they put you off till the next day. And if it's not an emergency, they'll give you an appointment that's a week away or 2 weeks away or 3 weeks away. And you got a messed up knee or a messed up shoulder. You need to get it fixed. And it says, oh, we got an appointment 2 months from now. I mean, that drives us. It drives us crazy sometimes when it seems like for my doctor, you actually have to schedule a physical like 6 months ahead of time. I'm like, I'm glad that there's nothing really wrong with me because, it's amazing. But you know what? God is always there. It says here, if we will draw nigh to Him, He will draw nigh to us. But just because God is always there does not mean that we're always close to Him. If we really truly want to pull down these strongholds in our life, we must first agree with God, then we must attack it, but then we must approach God. Just because God is always there, that does not mean that we are always close to Him. Saying you want to get close to God does not make you any closer to God. It doesn't improve your relationship with Him. The Bible says we have to draw closer to Him. It means that we actually have to do something in order to drive closer to Him. Once again, there is an agreement and there is an attack to it, but if we want to draw closer to God, we must take a step towards Him. And I think about this idea of drawing closer to God. It indicates to me that every time we take a step towards God, He takes a step towards us. I mean, isn't that wonderful? I don't know about you, but you think about that a little bit. If I am willing to take a step towards God, that means He's getting closer to me every time. It's not just something I have to go out there and I have to do all the work Himself. God is interested. He loves us. He wants us to be closer to Him. He's saying, look, if you'll even try, if you'll take that step closer to me, I'll draw closer to you. If you want a happier walk in your Christian life, if you want your spiritual temperature to be higher, if you want to feel the closeness to Him that you talk about, then we have to start moving closer to God. We have to do something to take steps closer to God. We have to read His Word. We have to memorize His Word. We have to maybe fast at different times, maybe be obedient to His Word. Until we do what is right, God is not going to move towards us. And here's the thing is, okay, I want to draw closer to God. I'm going to go read the whole Bible within like 2 months. That's not a bad thing to do, but you're going to have to get rid of your sin first. Remember, you had to come to an agreement. You have to be willing to attack this. But if we really, truly want to go closer to God, we're going to have to clean up our act. I remember in the story when Joshua and fought the battle of Jericho, and then Achan had stole those things he wasn't supposed to. And there was a curse on the nation of Israel, and they had lost the battle. Joshua does what he's supposed to. He goes before God. Now, he should have went to God before the battle. If he would have gone to God before the battle, God would have already told him that. But Joshua's on his knees, and he's begging God in Joshua chapter number 7. And it says, Joshua chapter 7, verse number 10, and the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? He's not saying to Joshua, keep on praying. He says, why are you kneeling there? Why are you on your face? You wouldn't expect that from God. You would think God would say, well, that's where you're supposed to be. You see, there was sin in the camp, and he had to deal with that sin before God was ever going to be able to fix the problem. He says in Joshua 7:11, Israel have sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I have commanded them. For they have even taken the accursed thing, and have also stolen, dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before the enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were cursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed thing from among you. Man, I mean, I don't know about you, but that kind of puts things in perspective. He says, look, get up off your face and go get cleaned up first before you're ever going to try to call closer to me. And I don't know about you, but that helps me. I need to make sure my sin's right before God's ever going to hear me. We like to live our life thinking that, hey, I'm close to God, but we need to make sure that we're clean first. And once again, we're talking about pulling down the strongholds. We're talking about getting rid of the things that have been bothering us for 20 or 30 years. We got to agree with God about it. We have to attack them. We have to approach God. And as we are approaching to God, we got to realize that I can't come into God's presence with sin in my heart and life. I need to get rid of these things. And he looked that up. It says Joshua 7:10. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Before we ever try to go to God and beg God for something, we should make sure our hearts are right first. How many times do we try to ask God for things and we got sin in our hearts and lives? If you're not close to God, it's easier for you to believe what the devil tries to tell you. We leave him room to operate. The closer you are to God, the harder it is for the devil to get in. When you're close to God, it's hard for him to get you off track and discourage you. You're not giving him place from which to work. The Bible says, draw nigh, draw nigh. You know why? Because he's going to draw nigh to you. It says in verse number 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. The next thing is, there must be an attitude. There must be an attitude. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Well, I know some people that have an attitude. So that's easy. I got an attitude. I can handle that. Forget the agreement. Forget the attacking. Forget the approaching. I got an attitude, but it's the right type of attitude. And it says in James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. What is the Bible talking about when he talks about humbling? Now, some people think that if there is somebody who is shy and maybe a little introvert and kind of just mumbles when he talks, and you say, well, that's a humble person. That's not what the Bible is talking about here. That may be a shy person. That might be somebody who is a little bit of an introvert, but that's not talking about the humility that God is seeking for. Someone once said that humility is the rare quality that you lose as soon as you think you have it. A preacher even once joked about this. He says, I heard a preacher once joke about writing a book called The 10 Most Humble Preachers in America and How I Taught the Other 9. It was a joke, okay? I know some of you say, you never tell enough jokes, preacher, but you guys never laugh at the ones I tell, so. 1 Peter 5, verses 5 through 6 really gives us a good understanding of what humility is about. Likewise, and now once again, at the beginning of this chapter, it's talking about preachers, but this is applicable to all of us. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. Now it's saying be clothed. Now take note of that. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now here's the thinking. Peter is talking about putting on humility like we are putting on clothes. We weren't born with clothes. We had to learn how to put clothes on. And you know what? Humility is not natural. Being humble is not natural. And you might say, well, I know some Christians that are really humble. Well, you know why? It's because they had the Holy Spirit of God living in them, and God has helped them with that. Sometimes people get the idea if something is unnatural, if it's not how we feel, that we're being hypocritical about it. But that's not the case at all. If we act the way we're supposed to act, and behave the way the Bible says we're supposed to behave, it's not hypocritical, it's obedience. Well, my heart's not telling me to be humble. Well, your heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things. And he's like, well, I just don't, you know what? There's a lot of things that we don't feel. What do we learn about in Galatians chapter number 5? You talk about temperance and self-control. Talk about the fruits of the Spirit. It's not us that is able to produce those fruits. It's the Holy Spirit of God that produces those fruits. doing what we are supposed to do rather than what we do, doing what we are supposed to do rather than what our first instinct is just being obedient to God. Because our instincts might tell us to do something different. Notice the Bible does not tell us to feel humble. It tells us to be clothed with humility. It may not feel natural at first, but humility is not normal human behavior. Now, the Bible says, in here, it says, we are supposed to submit ourselves one to another. We see the two characteristics of humility are submission and then also obedience. Now, you think about it. This is a common problem in marriage. Husbands can adopt the attitude that they're leaders. Not, they are the leaders of the household, according to the Bible. But they don't have to listen to anything their wives say. I don't think that's what the Bible talks about here. It talks about being a helpmeet and a helpmate and the idea that the husband gets to choose, but you're supposed to use your wife in the way of learning and growing. There's some things that they might even know more about than you do in certain areas. But also, wives get the idea that if their husbands would just listen to them about a few things, everything would be fine. Usually that wife is one that says, yeah, a few things is really that she wants to get her way all the time. Humility gives in instead of insisting getting one's way. I'm not talking about giving in to sin. What I'm talking about is being humble to help us understand that God has brought people into our lives to help one another. And most people don't approach their marriages like that. They approach their marriages, it's, I got to get my way. It's selfishness. What did we learn last Sunday morning about the family, about Isaac's family? Man, why is that family so messed up? You have a husband that was unscriptural. You have a wife that was unsubmissive and untrusting. You have one boy that was just a liar, and you have one that was unsaved till he died. I mean, there is a reason why our families are messed up is because people are not humble. There are times when I think it'd be great to be in charge. Sometimes I wonder why God hasn't taken care of certain people. But I'm not the one that's in charge. It's not my job to run things. It's my job to serve and obey God. My job isn't to tell God how to do his job, but my job is to be obedient to him and what he says. You will never, ever deal with a stronghold in your life if you have pride in your mind. If you come with the position of pride and that you got the way to figure out, that is working in the flesh. Remember, we need to be mighty through God. That's the way we pull down their strongholds. But when we have pride in our lives, that pride is going to stop us from being able to pull down those strongholds. If you think that you know better than others and nobody can tell you anything, guess what you got? A stronghold. That itself can be a stronghold. Next thing. There must be, now, who can pronounce that word for me? There must be what? Acquiescence. I guess I can't pronounce it that well, so I thought I'd help you out. Thought you could help me out a little bit. I did look it up. I do know what the definition means. It means a silent submission or submission with apparent content. You know, it's this idea that we are willing to submit. The Bible says in James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God. And he said, Pastor, you just said submit to others. And it's first we submit to God. And as God teaches and works on us, we learn to humble ourselves. Now, disobedient Christians develop strongholds instead of destroying them. Disobedient Christians develop strongholds instead of destroying them. Now, we must learn to be just submissive in our lives. You think about it. Why do people come to church on Sunday night? It's a nice night outside. People are cutting their lawns or maybe watching a football game. And, you know, it's a Super Bowl tonight. So, you know, they might want to walk in the park and things like that. Why do people go to church? Is it because they love church so much? Maybe. But I think it's because people are being submissive to God. They've learned that they're going to submit to God. And they know there are certain things they're supposed to be doing. Bible reading, praying, soul winning, tithing. You're not always going to feel like doing those things. Pastor, do you always feel like doing those things? Not always. There is a benefit. There are times when I enjoy it, and there's times when I enjoy it more than others. But if I'm going to be honest with you, there are times when I do it because I know I'm supposed to. It's supposed to be out of the developing of a love. And as I learn more about God, the more I'm going to love God, the more I'm going to want to do it just because of my own desires begin to feel that way, because I'm being controlled by the Holy Spirit more than by my flesh more. But there are times in our life where we're not going to feel like submitting. There are going to be times in our life when we feel like not going to church. There are going to be times in our life when we don't feel like telling somebody about Jesus Christ. Submission is obeying God regardless of our feelings. And this is where we have to learn to submit. And this is where we have to learn. There have been times where people have attacked you, maybe. And what is your first response? You say, I know something good about them. Attack back. But see, when we say, no, I'm not going to do it. When we look at the Bible and the Bible says, overcome evil with good. The Bible tells our enemies, bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. What are we doing there? We are submitting to God. When the thought of vengeance or getting even comes to mind, what are we supposed to do with it? That's when we go to the Scriptures. That's when we learn from the Scriptures. Now, once again, I want to encourage you, you know, that we need to protect and we need to do other things. I'm not talking about letting someone just completely destroy you and destroy your family and things like that. That's not what we're talking about here. But we're talking about when trying to get even and talking about trying to do things that are wrong. What we need to learn how to do is just submit to God. You think about it. When Potiphar's wife, who probably was an attractive woman, came to Joseph, a young man who had been away from his family for a long years, was a slave and had worked his way up to a position, probably wasn't ever going to get married because of the fact that he was a slave inside this household, comes and says, lie with me. You know, what does he do? He doesn't submit to his feelings. He submits to God. And he talks about how can he sin against God? What we want when we want our own way and we yield to others, we're not submitting to God. We do not have the strength to overcome our strongholds on our own. We must have spiritual weapons to pull them down. We must be willing to give in to whatever God requires of us. Yet we live in a society that would laugh at that. The value of not yielding to God is something the world tells us to do. They desire their independence. The typical American attitude is summed up in that Frank Sinatra song, I did it my way. And there are people that live their lives, hey, I did it my way. But that's what many Christians want to do too. And we need to be careful. If we want to pull down strongholds, we must be willing to submit. The Greek word for submit here is to rank under. It is a military term that indicates the willingness to follow orders and be under authority. Are we really willing to obey that way? So what do you mean? You mean you want me to listen to you? I want you to listen to God. I want you to say, I'm under the authority of God. God is my master. God is my Lord. That's why we call him Lord. We are his servants. We are his slaves. And we need to be willing to follow his and submit to him. Remember when that Roman centurion came to Jesus and wanted his servant to be healed. Jesus marveled at him. It says, "For the centurion said to Jesus, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." The centurion saying, look, I got people who work for me. I got people who have to listen to me. I tell them do this, and I tell them do this. They do it because they're submissive to me. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. He understood the role of submission. And when he asked Jesus for something, he says, I understand who you are. You don't have to do this. And he says, you only have to come to my house. He says, I understand this. He says, all you have to do is just say the word or think it, and it could be done. And we need to understand what true submission is. We really just need to learn that it's not my way or maybe my way, and think about it. It's God and his word. And that was what's going to pull down strongholds. Why did Jesus praise the soldier's faith? Because he understood that faith is based on submission and obedience to God's word. And John Brown's Body is an epic poem about the Civil War. Stephen Vincent Bennett wrote a passage about Robert E. Lee's famous horse, Traveler. It was said about this horse. And now at last comes Traveler and his master. Look at them well. The horse is iron gray, 16 hands high, short back, deep chest, strong haunch, flat leg, small head, delicate ear, quick eye, black mane and tail, wise brain, obedient mouth. Such horses are the jewels of the horseman's hands and thighs. They go by the word and hardly need the rein. And what they're saying there is that the horse has learned that they don't even really need as much instruction. All they need is just a simple little tug. That's the type of Christian I want to be. I don't want God to have to beat me up to just get my attention. I don't want God to have to send a whale in my life. I don't want God to have to send storms. I want to be submissive to Him. I don't want to have to be chastened to be obeyed. I don't want to have to try to get away from doing certain things. That's when strongholds develop. I want to be the kind of person who will do it as soon as I know what God wants me to do. Am I that way? I'm not perfect, but that's my desire. I want to do what God wants me to do, and I don't want Him to have to send certain things in my life just to get my attention. But we cannot destroy our strongholds unless we are willing to submit to His will and to the Word of God also. There is two more that are left, but I think we're not going to have time to get into all of them. So we're going to look at our verse one more time. But as we close, I want you to think about this. In our lives, in our hearts, do we really look at our life as being submissive to God? We want to pull down strongholds. We have to be willing to agree with God. We have to be willing to attack. Then we have to learn to approach. And then we have to be willing to submit to Him and submit to His will. I want to encourage you today. It's not, should I obey God? Should I not obey God? If we want to pull down strongholds in our life, it is, I am submitted to God because He is my Lord and Master. I know some of you had to step out, and we're going to close in a word of prayer after you get done stepping out there for your ministries. If we really, truly want to get rid of those things in our life, there comes a time where we have to say, I am submitted to God's will for me. Destroying the strongholds is the most important part of these lessons. It's helping us recognize it, and it's helping us say, how do I get rid of these things? It begins with just being submissive. Is there something in our life that we know that we're not submissive to God about? We talked about bitterness last week. We talked about soul winning. We've talked about tithing. Those things are strongholds. We need to work on those things. We need to say, okay, what is God's word? Don't take my word for it. Look in God's word, what it says, His will for our lives is concerning it. Let's pray.